Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, we glorify and honor, praise your holy name. Father, we ask for your deliverance power here in the services today, Father. We ask, Father, that you will lead and guide us by the power of the Holy Ghost to receive your word, your truth. We bind every evil, wicked, demonic spirit that may try to hinder the word of God coming forth. We bind them right now to authority in the third heaven. We command for them to be under subjection. We command them to not hinder, harass, any type, way, shape, fashion, or form, or block the word of God coming forth. We bind them with chains and feathers right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over them. We're glad to receive thy word this day, Father. Speak to our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, you ever wonder, Sister Jeanette, why I always say, well, you know, Sister Jeanette was a chemist. You ever wonder why I do stuff like that? You don't? You know what I'm doing it for? No, not really. Usually I try to, if we're on the radio or stuff, I try to use other people's testimony to strengthen others who may be in the same situation. You know what I mean? Because a lot of folks out there, they have these occupations and stuff, and they don't think that they can live for the Lord. They don't think they can make it without it. Hmm? And you can.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Ooh, boy. 2003 starting off good, boy. I mean, boy, the devil's a raging left and right, bro. I mean, man, these emails, boy. Sometimes look at them, I don't know what to say, love you or to hell with your devil. You don't have to be very, very discerning about what you're hearing and looking at. I mean, reading, you know what I mean? So that's how you had to go. See, one thing about deliverance, it opens up a doorway to, we already know, but now we got a finger on it. We're not shadow fingering or shadow boxing. We know what it is now. And so when you see spirits on these people, that's just like I tell you. If you see people opposing the deliverance ministry, they have a demon. Amen. They have a literal demon in them. It makes no difference whether they're ignorant or not. They are giving place to that demon. Amen. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
They're actually giving place to that spirit.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Any of us, we can choose to open up this Bible and pick up and read the word and choose to agree or disagree with it. Even after being born again. You know, because this Bible, you know, all this part right here is written to us that are born again.
So true.
Written to church.
Yeah.
And boys, this thing has so much in it. Has a lot in it.
Amen.
I mean, it's loaded. And, because we're told all the time, you know that the reason you act the way you act. And you are the way you are and where you're at and the way you are shows where you at and shows where you are in the Lord.
Amen. So true.
Now, the only people that will have sense enough to understand that is them who know the Lord.
Amen.
And if you're a mature, you know, a mature Christian acts totally different than a novice Christian. I mean, I'm having a meeting with the brothers down here, and I'm, you know, our arrogant spirit makes us think that we're elders because, you know, we like to be there. It makes us think that we are. And we're so far from it. And then, of course, then you got feelings and emotions to deal with when you tell folk that you just don't have that capacity.
Amen.
And the best thing you could do is pray for somebody who has that capacity.
Amen.
And you'll be in your capacity.
Yes.
So after I get through going through all the brethren, some of them that are there find out they ain't going to be there. And the ones that's there is going to be the ones that's there that according to who the Lord's put there and not me.
Amen.
Of course, I'm the one going to have to tell them, right? So guess who get to take the hit for the Lord? Guess who get to take the hit for the Lord in almost everything? Now, that's not an insult to a mature Christian. Everybody should want to be in their place, not the place that's not yours.
Yes. Amen.
If you're not in the place where the Father put you, you're going to do more damage than good.
Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Amen.
Now, isn't that amazing that the reception we get at that? Now, wait until somebody tell you that you're not in your place and see what happens then.
Amen.
And you'll find out where you are or where you're at in the Lord. I promise you, because then you have to deal with arrogancy, you have to deal with pride and all these spirits that come up. I mean, there's so many spirits, brothers and sisters, that we are ministered to all the time. I mean, the Father he says, look and see, brothers and sisters, this is what's going on. And we can choose to receive it or reject it. And a lot of times we don't do so well because of what's in the way. It's the makeup of man. You ought to ask the brothers when I talk to them and stuff. Sometimes they just sit and look at me. And y'all ever marvel at sometimes the way that all the stuff comes out of my mouth? And so what I do is I tell them, I say, you ain't marveling no more than I am.
Amen.
I say, imagine be the one talking to you and it's coming out. And you don't know either. You just receiving it like you are. Huh? And I'm just amazed that that's just a method that the Father used to talk to us with. You see, the one thing, if I teach anything, that you'll never be able to be used for the Lord as long as you got a haughty spirit. Now, do you know even if you don't have a haughty spirit, you would be accused of having a haughty spirit? I mean, some of the most humble and holiest people that there is, they're usually bashed on by the people that are novices in the Word. Y'all ain't never talked about where they just think they so holy. And they ain't done nothing to you. But there's a spirit in you that just don't like the way that they carry themselves. Because they're examples of believers. How about there's a spirit that's after them through you? And since they always seek embodiment, they got to use some voice to try to destroy your brother or sister. I mean, why do you think I'm getting all these attacks lately? The enemy's trying to do everything he can to just stop the ministry. Because he ain't going to do it anyway.
Amen.
Can't do it.
Ain't going to do it. If I die tomorrow, the ministry still go on.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Because it's the work of Yahweh. Gates of hell are not going to prevail against it.
Amen.
When I was down in Texas in December, I had told the people, I said, you know, I'm here and I hope to impart some spiritual gift to you. You understand what I mean? I said, I hope to impart some spiritual gift to you. And so everybody just sitting looking at me and they said, what's that? First of all, faith. Now, I believe I got faith. I believe that. But I also know that my faith ain't where it should be.
That's true.
Because if my faith was where it should be, of course, it really don't really depend on me. It depends on him. You follow me? I mean, he's not lacking in any area. I mean, how many times has the Father done stuff for us in spite of where we were? How many times has he done that? And we're warned here in this generation, this time we're living in right now, that them are spirits. You have to be on guard of these spirits. I mean, you have to. You have to be sober-minded in everything you do. Because the enemy, he's after you. Do you understand he's after your soul? Now, let me paint you a scenario here for a minute. One day, this world as we know it is going to be gone. And when that time comes, then the judgment. And some, they're going to go to the judgment of life. And some to everlasting damnation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, the world, they don't mind going to the judgment of damnation. They don't want to go there, but they're not doing nothing to keep from going there.
Amen.
Same applies to the church.
Yes.
The church don't want to go there, but it still ain't going to keep many from not going there. I mean, you have these damnable doctrines of men that tell you once saved, always saved, and people latch on that and they believe they can do anything they want to do. And then they'll turn around and tell them, well, they ain't never been saved. If they go out and do that. And I say, man, how much spin can you put on something before finally the top just rolls over to the side? No, the Father put certain things in the words because he don't want the fear of him to depart from your heart. And he tells you certain things because that's the way he wants you to be.
Yes.
He don't care about what you think.
No. It's just the truth.
I mean, if you can be so blunt about it, it's either his way or the highway.
Amen.
And that highway is going to lead to hell. And I know that it's not politically right and socially acceptable today, but hey, Jesus talked a lot about people going to hell.
Amen.
And so do I. Because there's a lot of folk going to hell. And the reason why hell had to enlarge in itself is because all the professing Christians that are going there. And that's the soberness that we need to wake up to in this hour that we're living in. Didn't the Bible tell you that in the last days scoffers and mockers would come?
Yes.
Didn't it tell you that?
That's right.
And they here. There wasn't no scoffers and mockers in Moses' day. They were just flat out rebels.
Yes.
The scoffers and the mockers are the ones that stay around to try to sway many to their persuasion. I mean, if you're going to catch a Christian, if you're going to deceive a Christian, how would you deceive them? Tell them the truth. Now, let me tell you what takes place when a Christian found out they've been deceived. What they do is the first thing they start doing is start charging the person that deceived them or the persons. And what they don't know that they're doing is justifying themselves. Then the next thing you know, they call themselves having righteous indignation and being mad and angry. And they forget all about the scripture said that anger rests in the bosom of fools. They forget all about the scripture that says all things work out for the good of them that love the Lord. And so they end up taking on the nature of the beast. The nature of the unregenerated man. You see, they take on that nature, what we always tell you about. You see, at conversion, when the Father saved your spirit, the cleansing of your soul and body leads up to you. And you can find out real quick that your soul, your mind wasn't regenerated. It wasn't changed. That there's still a dark veil there in the mind that the light of God's truth have not penetrated.
Amen.
And as a result, you see the way you act.
Yes. Amen.
Now, when you're in so much of a drunken stupor, spiritually, you don't see the way you act. Because you're busy breathing out what's in you.
Amen.
And you don't care the way you act because you're justified in yourself and you're right in your own eyes.
Amen.
Now, the Bible tells me that the end of the commandment is love.
Yes.
And so when you get finished finding out that you've been deceived, where's the commandment at? Where's the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And so what you do is you start comparing yourself amongst yourself and you say, well, I'm better than you. Now you tell me the world would not react the same way. Tell me they wouldn't. You got the mics on, Brother John? You tell me the world wouldn't act the same way. Come on, Christian, in that situation, you tell me the world wouldn't act the same way that your mind act. Isn't that truth?
Amen.
I was talking with the deacons as he was walking down the road last night. I said, very few people, actually, when they see a situation or circumstance, usually people are caught up in the heat of the moment. Amen. The Bible said, and they stirred up the people.
Amen.
How many times something's happening, you've been stirred up, you've been caught by the wave.
Amen.
And next thing you know, you're in it. What are you stirred up for? It's a cause. Why not? Everybody else is. Very few people standing by soberly.
That's right.
Sitting back, analyzing, and looking to see what's really, truthfully taking place.
That's true.
Usually we're taken by with a flood.
Amen.
There you are, Cardinal Christian. You let something happen, boy. All of a sudden, you see this big wave comes. And it starts to pick up everybody that's of the same persuasion. And then once you get in the center of it, you find it's hard to pull out of it.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Telling the truth. That's right.
I mean, y'all ought to see how many times they stirred up the people. You know why? Because they feel like you can get strength for stirring up the people. And all they do is manifest what they really are.
Right.
Now, I want you to know that I'm talking about a spiritual condition.
Thank you. Amen.
That we've all dealt with. That if we don't kill it dead, it's going to kill us.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
It's going to kill us. If somebody done you wrong, what would Jesus do about it? You see, all men don't have knowledge. You talking about going to Holy Ghost school, boy. We went to school last night. We went to school. I'll let you in on a little bit of it here real quick, all right? 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Are you sure you're going to listen? I mean, you're not just going to sit by idly, are you, and let the devil have your mind? The word of God that was made flesh, he desires to have your mind. He tells you all these things because he wants you to know. It sure is nice to see the change that deliverance has brought about amongst you folks. It's nice to stand up in this pulpit and don't have to deal with all these different types of evil, wicked spirits looking at you. Staring at you in your eyes, boy. Of course, it didn't bother me anyway. I just preached to them.
Amen.
He's getting worse and worse. But I promise you, church, that we are not where we should be. But as long as we remain in the press, we'll be where we should go. And we'll get there. But you need to always have first and foremost in your mind that there's an enemy there to hinder you. And when you have that knowledge right there, then the chance of you being hindered is null, nil, and void. There's an enemy out there that's working in the spirit of your mind. Trying to bring your mind captive. And if it ain't the enemy, then it's your own mind.
Amen.
Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that, look at this, we all have knowledge.
Amen. That's true.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
We all got knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Well, now that you know that we all got knowledge, let's read on. Knowledge puffeth up.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, everybody was quick to say amen that we all had knowledge. Amen. And then when the Apostle Paul started telling us that knowledge puff up, they go, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Oh, oh. Yeah, but not mine, though. I keep telling you, why you think you're in the situation, the condition you're in your mind? Because your knowledge puffed up. But charity edifies. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's what the, isn't that something? Paul's still playing that one string banjo, isn't he? Bang, love, bang, love, bang, love, bang, love. What's the end of the commandment?
Love.
Bang, love, bang, love, bang, love.
Amen. Yeah.
Are you listening here? You got your Holy Ghost on this morning.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's the Lord.
And if any man think that he knoweth anything. Now, how many folks think they know something? Don't you sit up and tell me you don't. You prove every day how much you think you know something.
Amen.
You don't believe me? Let a question be asked and see what happens. You'll start giving out what you perceive to be knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if you don't know nothing about it at all.
Yeah.
And you just quickly show that knowledge puffed up.
Amen.
Anybody been affected by that?
Oh, yeah. Amen. So true, Father.
Called mouthology.
That's true. Glory.
It ain't going to hurt you to say amen, brothers and sisters. It'll probably help take some of them contorted looks off your faces. Probably help give you some deliverance from a spirit. Just receive the word with gladness. Just receive it with gladness. It'll give life. Now, if any man think that he know anything, he know of nothing. Yet as he ought to know. See, that's it. And you, boy, I mean, how you gonna get somebody to just be quiet? It's not a requirement for you to open up your mouth and say something every time. Matter of fact, the Bible tells that you can count a man of wisdom when he keep his mouth shut. But if any man love God, bang, there it is. You say you love him, don't you? But if any man love God, the same is known of him.
Amen. That's the truth.
Our problem is we're too busy trying to be known of man.
Uh-huh. Amen.
That's the reason why we're in the trouble we're in now. Because rather than trying to please God, we're trying to please man.
That's right.
And I can tell you one thing for sure, and it's a promise. You will never please man. You can't do it. There's always going to be something that man's going to be dissatisfied at, annoyed at.
That's the truth.
Amen. I'm telling the truth. I'm serious. You just can't please man. I don't care what. I'm sorry, folks. You don't even please you, and you're a man.
Amen.
You get indignant about stuff. Y'all know we some of the most indignant people that there is. Y'all don't know that?
Amen.
And then the Bible tells you clearly that anger rests in the bosom of fools. Now, with all this so far, you see that the Apostle Paul is dealing with knowledge right now. And see, and what we should learn out of all this right here, we still don't know nothing. Is that right? Now, he dealt with knowledge. Now he's going to get into it real quick. Notice now he's going to get into what he's talking about. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifices unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world. And that there is none other God but one.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's amazing how you try to clear the space of all that puffed up knowledge and stuff right here before you even deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. He tells you right there in the first verse, first thing we're going to deal about, we're going to deal with the things offered to idols. And it takes him two other verses before he can get to it. Because first he has to deal with the spirit of man's mind. You ask a question in this place and see how everybody has a little bit of knowledge. Everybody got something to say. And people, and sometimes when you answer, people don't even know how stupid they look when they answer. Because their knowledge has got them at a certain level of capacity. They don't even know when they're looking stupid. You just have to grit and bear it. And try to move on and hope that the Holy Ghost tell them, won't you just shut up? Hey, this is the truth. Amen. Ever been in that situation before? Yes. I have. There's many times I had to use the removal effect. Remove my foot out of my mouth. There's many times my own spirit talked to me and said, you dumb, stupid, ignorant. Why don't you just shut up? You always think you got something to offer. Shut up. We all affected by this, ain't we?
Amen.
And the reason why we're being told this more so we don't have to be infected by it no more.
Amen.
I mean, we want to be counted as men of wisdom, right?
Amen.
Hmm? For though there be that are called gods, and we know that there are any, hey, they call everything gods nowadays. Hmm? Whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many.
Yes.
But to us, there's but one God.
Amen.
Almighty Yahweh.
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
That's to us.
Yes.
To them, they got many of them.
Amen.
Plenty of them.
Yes.
And we better hope that we remove some gods out of our hearts too.
Yes.
I mean, we're hollering one God. We know that. But does our heart know that? Because you know that thing is deceitful.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
It may think, hey, that heart would try to have you thinking that you're serving the one true God while you're still holding on something else over here.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
Let every man know the Lord for himself.
Yes. Amen.
Hmm? And see, a lot of people think it's a play thing about knowing God.
No.
Hmm? I don't know nothing more serious.
Amen. 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 That's the truth.
But to us there is one God, the Father, in whom all things, in whom are all things, and we in him, and the, and look at this, and one Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Christ, by whom all, by, let me start it over. But there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him.
Amen.
That means what they're saying is all things consist of him.
Right. Yes.
Everything came because of him.
That's right.
Yes. Everything is because of him.
Yes.
Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
You don't believe it? You try to tell somebody about Jesus and watch him, watch their spirit and see if they got that knowledge. I think one of the most difficult things it is to do in this generation we're living in right now is to tell people the truth. And they receive it. I said, and they receive it. Because we got so much knowledge nowadays that our mind says, well, what is truth? That's the way you believe.
Amen. That's true.
And I've got a hallmark saying with that. I say, well, one thing's for sure. Somebody's right. Somebody's wrong.
That's the truth.
And it's either you or it's either me when they answer like that.
Amen.
And I said, one of us going to go to glory and one of us going to burn in hell.
Amen.
So I think that if there's anything in it at all, we both better find out which place we're going.
Amen.
And you wouldn't believe even that don't even work nowadays. Because the man of heart's so callous. Hmm? Now that's very sober. I told you there was a brother down in Texas named Talib Ali. He was a Muslim. Did you hear what I said? I said he was a Muslim. He came to the meeting. He was a Muslim. The Father had already been speaking to his heart because he would send me a $5 offering or a few offerings in the broadcast, for the broadcast in the mail.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
And when he came to that meeting, he was still a Muslim because he was still attending their meetings.
Yes, sir.
And I talked to Sister Karen Field's son the other day, and he said, Pastor Dow, you ought to see Ali. I said, what's going on with him? He said, that man reading his Bible, he's always in it.
Glory.
He said, that man, he ain't no Muslim no more. He don't go to their meetings. He said he's in that Bible. He is studying that Bible. He's praying. He said, you ought to see him. I said, huh, isn't that something? He said, he told me, he said when he went to that meeting and he saw that demon being cast out of that man, he said that was enough for him. He said, Allah ain't got that power. Isn't that something? I said, well, that's Bible. When folks saw the miracles of demons coming out of somebody, that's Bible. And now the Father got him. The devil thought he had him, and now God got him. And I said, that's power right there. That's power. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's power. See, a lot of folk, we don't understand what that means.
Yes.
Hmm?
Amen.
Because I tell you what happened. He grew up here in America, probably received this crazy, stupid doctrine, all these lies like Christmas, Easter, and everything else.
Yes.
And he said, I'm getting sick and tired of all these damn lies. I'm converting over to Muslim.
Amen, sir.
And so he probably had his name changed. I mean, you don't get American. Talib Ali is not an American name for a black man. Hmm? And then some way, somehow, in all this, the Father had him on the bed in the hospital a week before I got there. And the doctors told him that he ain't gonna make it. He gonna die today. And Sister Karen Fields, who all she has is just faith. You ought to see her, boy. She is just bubbling over with Jesus.
That's good.
Amen.
And she said, the physician hadn't spoke.
Amen.
And they said, what do you mean he hadn't spoke? He just got finished speaking. He said, no, he ain't. The physician hadn't spoke yet.
Amen.
She said when the doctor left the room, she pulled out some anointing oil, laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. Look at that faith. Wonder how many else would have had that knowledge to do that. They ain't say all they want to. He said the physician hadn't spoke.
Amen.
Then next thing you know, this brother's in the meeting in Texas grabbing a hold of a leg. But somebody having a demon cast at him. You know he's a believer because he was right there.
Amen.
He's sitting there looking. Again, I said, but don't sit there. Look, get on over here. He came over there, boy. I said, bro, I forgot all about you. You had been in the hospital and stuff. I said, well, at least the Lord didn't kill you.
Bless the Lord.
Wow.
Amen.
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 Wrong with him.
Amen. Lord.
Lord.
And just think, if the Lord didn't send us down there, huh? He'd still be a Muslim, huh? You can't straddle the fence. I remember, as I read in the gospel right here, that when many saw unclean spirits coming out of people, that that caused many of the people in the city to rejoice. And they, as a matter of fact, it brought them to Christ. And seeing what's going on out there in this world, they got the Benny Hens and the T.B. Hens and the Frederick Casey Prices and the Kenneth Hagins and the Kenneth Copelands, all these false prophets, all these false doctrines, all these people, certain men that have crept in unaware, ungodly men meant to be condemned.
Amen.
T.D. Jakes, Frederick Casey Price, Rod Parsley, Bishop Earl Polk, the whole nine yards. So when people see that fiasco garbage, nobody wants the Holy Ghost. See, all men don't have knowledge. We prove it. And so what people do is they start denying the very power of God because of what these bastards got over here.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Well said. Amen.
It don't matter that Paul told us in the scripture that there's going to be some people come preaching another Jesus. It's called the prosperity doctrine. God ain't never told us that he wished that your money would be lined fat with your pockets would be lined fat with money. He said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health. Hey, I'm sorry, folks. You can't pay enough for health. Ain't enough money in this world. You get the most richest man in this whole world, he'll give everything up if he could live one more day.
Amen.
And so the Father, he actually, in that right in the same verse, he tells us how he wants us to prosper. Even as your soul.
Amen.
Prosper your mind, your will, and emotions.
Amen.
He wants them all bought into the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the reason why people can't receive the word today.
Hmm?
Because they got knowledge, but they don't have knowledge.
Amen. Amen.
So the Father saved this man. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Another one the devil thought he had, huh?
Yeah.
He might even be up here. Come Passover time. Can you imagine that? A Muslim Passover with Christians? Well, Muslims don't do that. Christians do.
Yeah.
See, he's a Christian now. Ain't the Father good?
Yes, he
is. Yes, he is. That's amazing. Now look what he says, 7 verse. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. In other words, they willfully know what they're doing. They know it's offered to the idol, so they're going to sit down and eat it any old way. With conscience. Mind sober.
Yes.
I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Amen.
And their conscience being weak. See, it shows it.
Yes.
Is defiled.
Wow. That's right.
But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse.
That's right.
Now, Paul's not telling us to go out and eat things of idols.
No.
He's trying to bring stuff in perspective here. You know, just like I said, telling the brothers last night, it's just one of those things that, hey, if you just wait to get somebody that they even start off something, seem like they're trying to bring perspective to it, trying to show the real true meaning of it, and that's just a little inkling of you got this much space that you agree with, that's all you need to hear.
Uh-huh.
You won't even hear the whole matter.
Right.
You'll hear what you agree with.
Right.
Because it suits you.
Yeah.
I mean, because you look at this, it sounds like Paul is double talking. Sound like he's trying to make light of the things that is offered unto idols. Hey, we know we ain't doing it. Hey, We ain't no better. We ain't no better. If he's dealing with things off niners, why would you want to insert that? Why would you want to put that in there? Man, don't you know people mind going to go and wait. I know where it's going to go. It's going to go where they want it to go.
Amen.
It's going to go what's already in their conscience.
Amen.
And Paul said, he told us just before that many of our conscience is weak,
yes,
defiled.
Yes.
Amen. Then he says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a what?
Stumbling.
A stumbling block. You know, a lot of people say, well, we under grace now. We got all the liberty. We can do this. We can do that. We can do this. We can eat this. We can eat that. We're under liberty. We got liberty. We got grace. Sloppy grace. You take heed lest by any means this power and this authority, you this strength that you possess of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, the ones got the weak consciousness. You know, a lot of times you see folk do things and you think that gives you the license to go do it.
Amen.
And you're going to find out the reason why you think that gives you the license to go do it. But you go do something like that, you're going to find out you're going to be in the same position as the folk that went and done it too.
Amen.
Both of you going to be damned. Watch this now. That's why we keep telling you, get your eyes off man.
Amen.
That way you won't receive an offense.
Amen.
Because we're going to learn something about offense today. And you're going to learn the more so how that you will make sure that you don't ever want to be offended about anything.
Right.
Listen to this. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, you know, a man that seems to be religious. He perceived to be religious. Perceived to be an authority. A man that people look to. Man people look up to. If any man see thee which has knowledge set at meat in the what? In the idol's temple. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Huh? Here you are. You got a man of authority. A man of knowledge. Man of God. And all of a sudden, he's sitting in a temple where he knows that there actually has been meat offered to idols. And all of a sudden, here come weak Joe Christian. Setting meat in idols' temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened? Man, he's going to have an attack on his mind, isn't he?
Yes.
Huh? And I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to do what's already in his mind. Is that right? I mean, notice this word weak keeps showing up. Well, his mind going to be emboldened for what? To eat those things which are offered to idols. Why? It don't make no difference if the man sitting in there, that he's not even eating the meat. But the first thing that young, weak-minded Christian going to receive when he walks in there, he said, look who's sitting here. Well, I just sit right on down to the smorgasbord. If he's here, it's got to be right.
Amen.
And Paul just got finished telling our mind and our conscience is defiled.
Because
you don't know the truth for yourself. The Father said, I want everybody to know me for their own self. That's the reason why I've written my laws in your heart.
Yes.
So you can know me from the least to the greatest.
Yes.
And look at this, 11 verse. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish. Now he's back on the one who's sitting in there.
Yeah.
Now the weak brother going to perish. Huh? Now the one that's got knowledge, he's going to have blood on his hands. And the one that didn't have knowledge, that was weak, he going to go to hell.
Yes, sir.
For whom Christ died. What happened? That throws the hell out of one saved, always saved, didn't it? Yes or no?
Amen.
It just got finished telling you that Christ died for that brother.
Yes.
The Bible said, him that is weak in the faith, receive not the doubtful disputations.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, just receive him. Look at here.
Amen.
But when ye sin, man of knowledge,
that's right,
so against the brethren, and look, wound their weak what?
Conscience.
You wound their weak conscience. Ye sin against Christ. You know, that's the one thing. Well, I ain't did nothing. Boy, God got you all now, don't he?
Yes.
Now you tell me that we don't live in an hour where man ought to walk circumspectly and not as a fool. Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Amen.
You see, this word of God, it hits every walk of life.
Yes.
That's right, from the old to the young.
Amen.
To the elders to the weak.
Yes,
yes it does.
Yes.
You see, and just when everybody think they've arrived, look at this word of God. It's good for us to receive this morning.
Yes.
Good for us to hear this.
Amen.
This is for us. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, there we go.
Yes.
You hear that? Meat make my brother offend? Look at it. I will eat no flesh while the word standeth, while the world standeth. I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. So if you see me going to a place and I see and I'm sitting there and they having pork fish, pork this, pork that, and they come in brother right there, I'm not eating. See, because we're going to find out today, and it's very important for us that we know about this word offended and offense.
Yeah.
Because we have taken it so far out of, I mean, I believe it's an actual ploy of the devil. I believe it's a work of the devil that has actually got the minds, everybody on every level, believing that this word means this way. We're going to get to
yes.
it. Because you're going to find out we all think that's what it means.
Yeah.
Including the world.
We're
going to get to it. We need some soberness. Good old sound doctrine. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like sound doctrine. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to what?
Offend.
Now, what does the word offend mean? Well, he just enticed his brother to sin. That's what the offense was. You see, a lot of times we hear this, well, we don't want to offend nobody. You ever heard that before?
Yes.
We don't want to offend anybody or nobody, you know. We just have to be careful because we don't want to offend.
Yes. Right.
When you speak in the word of God, you bring forth the word of truth. That's not bringing about an offense after the spirit.
Amen.
And the devil has actually used us to not say the word, to speak the word, for fear that we're going to cause an offense. But the Bible talks about offense in the form and fashion of enticing people to sin.
Amen.
To put a stumbling block before them, to draw them away to sin.
Amen.
It ain't talking about being offended in the word of God.
No.
It ain't talking about being offended in truth.
Amen.
And we're going to see that. Now how many of our minds ain't never been like that? We scared to say something because we don't want to offend. We don't want to put in, you know, a big old speed bump in the way of our brother. And that speed bump is never the word of God. That speed bump is never the word of truth.
Amen.
Devil giving us lock jaw.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth, brothers. We're going to see this too. We're going to see this. Now let's go over the definition of offend real quick, okay? Look at this. To cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one who he ought to trust and to obey. To cause to fall away, to be offended, i.e. to see in another what I disapprove of and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. To cause one to judge unfavorably or unjustly of another.
Amen.
To offend. To make another trip or fall. The word of God is there to uphold us, not to trip us or fall us. You see, the truth is, the reason why we get offended is because our mind is conscious and our conscience is weak. Because it's not readily available to receive the word of God. And so when the word of truth come forth, like you tell somebody, you ain't supposed to be worshiping God or resting on the first day of the week. You're supposed to do it on the seventh day of the week. So first of all, the first thing they do is they get offended. They get offended because of the weak consciousness.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You're not putting a stumbling block. You're not enticing them to sin by telling them the truth.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the truth.
Amen.
So a lot of times we use this statement because we have a lot of consideration of someone else's feelings or emotions.
That's right.
That's why we don't want to offend. Y'all ain't never been around those uncomfortable spirits when they rise up.
Amen.
Hmm?
That's the truth.
And so we've actually used this spirit to not even speak forth the word of truth.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't bind us with chains and feathers.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it has.
Amen.
You can't get past it. So we find out when the Father was talking about sin. Let's go to Matthew 5:29. So when we found out that Jesus was talking about offense, he was not talking about people getting offended at the word. Amen. I tell you, I say it all the time. Every Sabbath, brothers and sisters, we got a lot to learn. We got a whole lot to learn. Because there's just things that we have been made to believe because it's the common thought of man. And there's been things we've been made to believe because of the religion of man. And things we have received from man. That we have not, we have failed to read God's word and get it for ourselves.
That's right.
We've come in and heard the word preaching and everything, and we failed to go back in and then drive the nail into the wood by going home and studying and showing ourselves approved.
Amen.
The Bible said they received the word with a readiness of mind. Yeah. Then they went back and they searched the scripture to see if those things that was conveyed to them were so.
That's right.
In this lazy society, in this generation of Christians we got now, they ain't searching nothing. Except what they can fill up their own lust with.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Look what Jesus said. Matthew 5:29. And if thy right eye offend thee. Do you hear that? Pluck it out. Cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What I want you to see is if what is offending you. He's talking about your right eye. He ain't talking about nobody else's right eye. There's a way you could be seeing that's wrong that's causing the offense. Jesus said, if that's the case, it's your eye now. Don't get mad now because it's your eye. You're always ready to take issue because of somebody else is offending you, but really it's you. And you're going to see that every time that Jesus talked about offense, he always applied it to some part of your body that's actually causing the offense. Look at him looking. Look at this. And then he said, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Wait a minute. Now, what do you mean right hand offend me? Don't a lot of time we extend our right hand of fellowship to people? Well, what if they say something that offend us? You received them. Cut your right hand off, boy. Cut it off, brother and sister. He didn't tell you to cut theirs off. He said, if your right hand offend you, you cut it off. You see, maybe when we hear this, we won't be so quick to be offended. We're talking about offense right now. And we know what? We're going to get another story right here that actually breaks it down from the beginning. I just wanted to show you this real quick to get you in the mindset. So you can see. Look at that. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish. You hear that?
Yeah.
It's actually better that one of your members should perish.
Yeah, that's true.
And not that the whole body should be cast into hell. I mean, if you're going to go to hell, don't go with your hand. Don't go with your eyes. Don't go with your arms. Don't go with your feet. Just in your body. That way when you get down there, you won't scream and holler because the flames are burning your hand, burning your eyes, burning your feet, and burning your arms.
Amen.
Is everybody seeing this? And I'm just, he did say if it was your eye that offends you to cut it out. He did say if your hand offends you, cut it off. He did say that, didn't he? I want you to see he's not talking about nobody else. I want y'all to see that. Is that right? He's not talking about nobody else. He's talking about you. Yeah. Let's look at Matthew 13:41. Look at this now. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and he shall gather, look, out of his kingdom all things that what?
Amen.
Now, from what we just read real quick, first of all, how much things do you want in you that's offended?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Sorry, folk. You're going to find out if you ain't seen it already that he ain't never telling you to go out there and accuse somebody for offending you. The offense always lies in you. Yeah, the offense is always in you. There ain't nothing nobody can say that offends you.
Amen.
There's something wrong with you.
Amen.
The only other way that it talks about any type of offense at all is if you got somebody, like we read in this story over here, that caused a brother or sister to sin, to put a stumbling block before them. Him that is weak in the faith. Amen.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we want to be quick to point our fingers and say, well, they offended me. I don't have to receive that. Huh? Huh? And maybe it's your eye that needs to be cast out of you. Huh? Maybe it's your hand that needs to be cut off. Because you know real quick, after we get finished with this type of judgment, ain't too many people going to be quick to pluck their eyes out. Ain't too many of you Christians going to be quick to cut your arm off either. Now, you was ready to receive an offense over here that didn't cause you to sin. You know, somebody could have told you the truth, but you didn't want to receive it. So you was offended. Huh? Is that right? Maybe somebody ought to take your feet off. You yourself. Cut it off. And see, in that quick, now everybody go, well, hold on, wait a minute. I'm not that offended now. I don't want to. Hey, I'm not that bad off. Oh, boy. He said he's going to gather all things out of his kingdom that offend and them that do iniquity.
Yes. Amen.
And what we are full of right now in this generation.
Yes.
People doing iniquity.
Amen.
Left and right.
Yes.
Their own wheels.
Yes.
What they perceive to be right in their own wicked minds. Yes. I mean, we just got finished just reading all over again that the Bible just telling us that our minds are messed up weak.
They are.
Is that right?
Hmm?
Let's go to Matthew 18. Let's get the fullness of this story. How about that? Hmm? I tell you what, before we go there, let me give you a scenario here. Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. Huh? And this is where Jesus is taking tax money out of the mouth of the fish. But actually told his disciples to go do it. You follow me? 27 verse says, now we're standing, lest we should offend them. Remember, they're asking, well, why come you're not paying taxes, Jesus? You see this? See, this was a requirement that they should have been doing, was paying taxes. And said, Jesus, he told them that way, you know, I really don't have to, but so I don't offend you, your laws. Is that right? He says, hey, look at this, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook. Take up the first fish. Take up the fish that cometh up first. Take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give to them for me and thee. You think them folks could have perceived that Jesus was sinning? Yeah, they did, as they would have never required them to pay taxes. So we're not going to offend them, Jesus said. Ain't that something? He know where to go get the money, huh? Go on out there to get that something. That something. He, you know that there was Judas there that had the purse on him. The Bible says Judas carried the purse. Huh? Why didn't he just say, hey, Judas, go pay him? I think he's trying to get something over to us. Because then immediately comes the next story. In the 18th chapter. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called. Isn't that something? He does something and then he just leads right off into something else to try to teach his people. And Jesus called a little child unto him and said, and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. And that's the problem that we have in today.
Right.
That there's not a real true conversion going on.
No,
no it ain't.
Amen.
No, it ain't. You got folks out there hollering and screaming that they're Christians. You can't even tell them from the world. You can't tell their attitude from the world. You can't tell their dress from the world. You can't tell the holiness of spirit from the world. You can't tell nothing from the world. They act just like the world. You mix them in with the world, you can't see no light at all because they just like the world.
Amen.
Think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, sing like the world, look like the world, live like the world.
Amen.